حميدة. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars e Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الذين كفروا لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن والغوا فيه لعلكم تغلبون فلنذيقن الذين كفروا عذابا شديدا ولنجزينهم أسوأ الذي كانوا يعملون ذلك جزاء أعداء الله النار لهم فيها دار الخلد جزاء بما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته وقال الذين كفروا those who commit kufr, disbelief, they say to each other, لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن, do not listen to this Quran, والغوا فيه, and make a noise, لعلكم تغلبون, so that you may be victorious. فلنذيقن الذين كفروا عذابا شديدا. So especially, we shall definitely let the kuffar taste a severe punishment. ولنجزينهم أسوأ الذي كانوا يعملون. And we shall certainly punish them for the worst of actions that they do. ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ النَّارِ This fire of Jahannam shall be the punishment for Allah's enemies. لَهُمْ فِيهَا دَارُ الْخُلْدِ They shall have an eternal abode. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ as a punishment for rejecting our ayat. We continue with the commentary of Surah Hamim, As-Sajda, which is also known as Surah Fussilat. And we have reached verse number 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to speak with regards to the kuffar and the disbelievers. And in these next few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a mention with regards to a habit of the kuffar and the disbelievers when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the glorious Quran. As far as the glorious Quran is concerned, then each and every person will know that the glorious Quran enjoys a certain one amazing effect. There is an effective nature of the Quran. That when a person recites the Quran, then it has an effect on the listeners. Those who listen to the Quran, they feel affected by the recitation of the Quran. Whether they be Muslims, whether they be non-Muslims. In fact, even when a person speaks, a human being, if this human being, this mu'min, this believer, he has iman, and together with iman, he has piety, he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then even when he will speak, this will also have an effect. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna minal bayani la sihra." There are certain talks, certain speeches, which are magical. They will mesmerize the audience and the crowd. They will be effective. This is why we find when we sit in the gatherings of the pious, then many a times when they deliver a talk or a speech, then it leaves an impact and an effect on our heart. We feel like changing our lives. So a normal human being, his speech also has an effect. And if this human being delivers a talk, delivers a speech, says something, and whilst talking, this is coupled with taqwa, with piety, with the fear of Allah Ta'ala, then this will be even more effective. And if he was to present before the people a quotation of a pious individual, then this will have an even greater effect. And if he takes this a step further and he presents before the people what we call a hadith, a sunnah, a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the effect will be even greater. So one can understand that if he was to present a verse of the Quran, then what the effect of this will be. But over here we are talking about the glorious Quran. The glorious Quran itself is extremely effective. Now, you have one scenario where the glorious Quran is being recited, but it's being recited by somebody who lacks piety. So the individual will not be able to leave any effect on the people because he lacks piety. But what he is reciting is the Quran. And because the Quran is full of effect, even this person's recitation will leave some effect on the crowd. So if we take, for example's sake, the glorious Quran has 100% effect, then this person who has no piety whatsoever, he has 0% effect. But because he is reciting Quran, he will still leave 100% effect on the people. You have a second person, he has complete piety also, and he's reciting the Quran also. So the effect of his action is going to be 200% now. You have a third person, full of piety, but what he is saying is not Quran. He is presenting a quotation of another pious person. That this quotation of this pious person will not be on the same level as the Quran. So the effect here is decreasing, but over here is complete. So from all of these scenarios, we can understand that the greater the piety in a person and the greater the effect in the speech, the more effective that particular action will become. So now we go back 1400 years. In Makkatul Mukarrama, where the individual is not just a pious individual, he's not just someone who enjoys a great amount of piety. Rather, he is the king of all the pious people that have come before and that will come in the future. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, completely pure, the imam of all the anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, the greatest individual sent on the face of this earth. So he's already right at the top. And then he is not saying his own words, which are also extremely effective. He is reciting the glorious Quran. So just imagine what effect this would leave upon a person. This is why we find in the books of Seerah that when the likes of Abu Jahl, who were the enemies of Islam, Abu Jahl and other leaders in Makkatul Mukarrama, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would stand at night in Salah and recite the Quran aloud. So throughout the day, Abu Jahl and likewise the other leaders of Makkatul Mukarrama were exerting all their effort in trying to turn people away from Islam. The goal was that nobody should listen to what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to say. The goal was to try and implant in people's minds that he is claiming this is revelation, this is wahi from Allah Ta'ala. But no, he has made up this Quran. But after all of this effort throughout the day, we see that at night, in a very secretive manner, in a way that nobody can see them, they are standing behind a wall and they are enjoying the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they'll spend the entire night listening to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam recite the Quran. And in the morning, when they would be returning home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make it such that one would bump into the other. They would cross paths. So they would ask one another that, what have you been doing all night? Why are you awake at this time? So they would begin to lament themselves. That how unfortunate are we? Throughout the day, we are claiming he is not the Prophet of Allah, yet this is what we are doing. We are spending the entire night enjoying his recitation of the Quran. And they will say to one another that promise that from tomorrow we are not going to do this. So they would promise one another that tomorrow I will not come to listen, tomorrow you will not also come. Now after Isha Salah, when a person is addicted to something, he knows that no matter how hard he tries, it's very difficult. And shaitan puts all sorts of thoughts in your mind. Shaitan will put all sorts, before committing a sin, shaitan will put all sorts of thoughts in your mind. That commit the sin now, tomorrow you can repent. You see why at night it's very important, especially for the youngsters, the youth, that they try to retire to bed as soon as possible. Otherwise, the night time is extremely dangerous. So anyway, the thought would cross their mind that we've already promised last night that we are not going to listen, so I'm sure nobody else will come, so let me at least go. But this thought would cross each and every one of them, and they would all go, and again they would listen to the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the morning, again they would see one another, and the same cycle. And this continued all the way until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara. So this was the effective nature of the Qur'an and what profound effect it had on the disbelievers who were great enemies of Islam, the likes of Abu Jahl. This is why the Mufassirin of the Quran, they mention that due to the effective nature of the Quran, those who heard it, they were in awe, either guided by its message or at least captivated by its beauty. So one of two things would happen when a non-Muslim would listen to the Quran. Either he would accept Islam, and if he did not accept Islam, then the minimum was that he would have to accept that there is something great about this recitation. There is something great about the Quran. The father of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Walid bin Mughira, regarding him, it is mentioned, he was not a Muslim, but in his presence, somebody, in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْءِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, which we hear on the day of Jumu'ah. And it's a very comprehensive verse of the Quran. So when Walid bin Mughira, he heard this verse of the Quran being recited, then what was his reply? He said that, I swear by Allah, this Quran has a sweetness to it. He just listened to one verse. But what did he say? I swear by Allah, this Quran has a sweetness to it. No human could have come up with this. We find Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that on one occasion, there was a Bedouin who heard a man reciting the verse, Fasda bima tu'mar wa a'rid anil mushrikeen, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that proclaim that which you have been commanded and turn away from the mushrikeen. This verse, Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions that before this verse was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would propagate and call people towards Islam on a single one-to-one basis. And he would do it in a secret manner. So he wouldn't call people on a collective basis and he wouldn't do it openly, because there was the fear that the non-Muslims would cause harm both to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as to those who would accept Islam. But after this verse was revealed, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to call people towards Islam on a collective basis and openly also. So anyway, when this one verse, Fasda bima tu'mar wa a'rid anil mushrikeen, was recited in the presence of this Bedouin, then immediately he fell into prostration. He went into sajda. And thereafter he said to the people around him that I prostrated because of the beauty of the language of this verse. Again, you and I, we cannot understand that what the beauty is in these, but the Arabs, because they understood language, then just in these few words, he understood how great the glorious Quran is. Likewise, there was another Bedouin, somebody recited from Surah Yusuf, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that when they, meaning the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they all lost hope in Yusuf alayhi salam, that he will let his younger brother Binyamin come with them back to their father, then khalasu najiya, they all went aside and began to consult with one another. So this is all he recited, فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّا. So when this Bedouin, he heard this, what did he say? He said, I bear witness that no one would be able to produce this type of speech. Meaning it has to be the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once sleeping in the masjid when someone was standing next to his head. And he was testifying to the truth. He was saying that I now believe in Allah and I believe in Islam. So Umar radiallahu anhu questioned him that why, what has brought you to Islam? So he was one of the Byzantine generals, a general from the Roman army, which means that most probably he was a Christian. And he was very well versed in the Arabic language as well as other languages. And this was common that people in those times, some individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with such abilities that they could master many, many languages. In fact, Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi has narrated in his compilation of hadith Al-Mustadrak regarding Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he is the son of Zubair ibn al-Awwam. And Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, he is from the Al-Asharatul Mubashara. So the 10 companions who were given glad tidings of paradise in just one gathering. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he mentioned that Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Abdul Rahman bin Auf fil Jannah, Saad bin Abi Waqqas fil Jannah, Sa'id bin Zayd fil Jannah, and Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah fil Jannah. So from these 10, one was Zubair ibn al-Awwam. So Zubair ibn al-Awwam, his son is Abdullah bin Zubair. So regarding Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that he had 100 slaves. And every slave would speak a different language. So he had 100 slaves and every single slave was speaking in a different language. So Abdullah bin Zubair mastered all the 100 languages. And he would speak to every slave in the language of that particular slave. So this particular individual also, not only was he well versed in the Arabic language, he was also well versed in other languages. And he had on one occasion heard one of the Muslim prisoners of war reciting the glorious Quran. So when he heard this person reciting the Quran, he said that this book, it contains some descriptions of this life and the hereafter as that which was revealed to Isa ibn Maryam, meaning Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. So he must have studied the Bible also. So he knew what was in the Bible. And when he began to listen to this Muslim prisoner reciting the Quran, he realized that there is a similarity between what is mentioned in the Quran and what was mentioned to what was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. And thereafter he recited one verse in which Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, that person who obeys Allah and the Prophet, وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ, and he fears Allah, وَيَتَّقْهِ, and he is mindful of Allah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, such people are the successful ones. So even he was left with this effect of the Quran when he heard just one verse of the Quran. Likewise, we find that Imam Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi, on one occasion, Imam Ismail rahmatullahi alayhi, he was walking when he heard a young girl, she was seeking forgiveness. But she was seeking forgiveness using some Arabic poetry. So one is you and I that we say, Astaghfirullah. And we ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. This girl, she was asking Allah for forgiveness, but in some Arabic couplets. So Imam Ismail Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was an imam in the Arabic language, he listened very attentively to what she was saying. And he himself later on says that how ironic that she was seeking forgiveness and I was listening to her voice, which I was not supposed to be doing, which is a sin. But anyway, I was listening to her couplets. And when she finished, then I ended up saying that, oh girl, how eloquent is your speech? So he said that she replied that how can you say that my speech is eloquent when we as Muslims have the Quran? You know, the Quran is the most eloquent, it's so eloquent that you should not find anything else eloquent. And thereafter, just to give an example, this girl, she recited a verse from the Quran, in which Allah Ta'ala says that, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِئِهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَائِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. In this verse, what Allah Ta'ala is saying is that we revealed to the mother of Musa alayhi salam that she should suckle Musa alayhi salam. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِئِهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. Then, when you fear upon his life, because Fir'aun had sent out a warrant that any boy which is found, he should be killed. So Allah Ta'ala is saying to her that when you fear that now the soldiers are going to take this baby away, what should you do? فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Place him inside the ocean. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Do not fear and do not grieve. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ. We are going to return Musa, your baby, back to you. وَجَائِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And we are going to make him from the prophets. So this girl, after reciting this verse of the Quran, she says that جَمَعَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ عَلَىٰ وَجَازَتِهَا. This one verse, despite its comprehensive nature, it contains within it قَبْرَيْن وَبَشَارَتَيْن وَأَمْرَيْن وَنَهْيَيْن. Two commands, two prohibitions, two pieces of information, and two pieces of glad tidings. So just this one verse has all of this in it, that there are two pieces of, there are two commands in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the mother of Musa that feed him, suckle him, and when you fear, then what do you have to do? Place him in the ocean. So these are two commands. لا تخافي ولا تحزني. Do not fear and do not grieve. So there are two prohibitions. And قبرين, there are two pieces of information. That وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ. We revealed to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, he gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother inspiration. Over here, the word wahi does not mean revelation, because wahi and revelation is exclusive for anbiya, the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. So over here, wahi means that we inspired the mother of Musa. This is called ilham. There is a difference between wahi and ilham. Wahi is something which is exclusive for prophets, and ilham is that inspiration which those people receive from Allah who are pious, but they are not prophets. But there's a difference between the two. So وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِئِهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَائِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. بَشَارَتَيْن, the two glad tidings, that we are going to return Musa back to you. So we are telling you to put him in the ocean, but as we tell you to put him in the ocean, at the same time, we are also giving you this glad tiding that you don't have to bid him farewell. A person puts their child in the ocean. The thought process would be that he's never going to come back now. But the Quran is saying that inna radduhu ilayk, we are going to return him back to you. And not only this, but another glad tiding that waja'iluhu minal mursaleen, we are going to make him from the anbiya and the prophets. So he will be a great prophet when he grows up. So again, the effective nature of the Quran. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would recite the glorious Quran in his courtyard. So sometimes he would just be reciting the Quran, sometimes he would stand in salah and recite the Quran. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would recite the Quran, we find that the non-Muslims, the women and the children, they would all gather by his house to listen to his recitation. This is how much effect his recitation would have, that the women would go there and they would take their children there also, just to listen to the Quran. Which women and children? The non-Muslims. So this was the effect which he had on the non-Muslims when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would recite the Quran. And this went so far that the non-Muslims, they realized that if we continue letting our women and children listen to his recitation, they are going to accept Islam. So on one occasion, they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they told him that you will have to stop this. And they began to persecute him and they began to torture him. And it got to a stage where Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he began to leave Makkatul Mukarramah. He began to leave Makkatul Mukarramah and he intended to migrate towards Abyssinia. And whilst migrating towards Abyssinia, en route to Abyssinia, he met one of the leaders of the tribe which was known as the Banu Qara, the Qabila Qara, the tribe Qara. His name was Ibn Dughunna. So Abu Bakr is radiallahu anhu, is leaving. He is going towards Abyssinia, and this leader of the Qara tribe, Ibn Nughunna, when he sees that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is leaving, then what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what did this person say to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? He said to him that inna mithlaka ya Aba Bakrin la yakhruj wa la yukhraj. O Abu Bakr, the likes of you, they cannot leave their town, nor can they be exiled from their town, because you are such a great person. And thereafter, he said that, why? Why are you so great? He mentioned some of his qualities. And what did he say to him? He said that, O Abu Bakr, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِّ وَتَقْسِمُ الْمَعْدُومُ وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفُ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. These are the same words which Khadija radiallahu anha said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first wahi and the first revelation. If we go back to that incident, and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation, the first five verses of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, he returns home. And after returning home, he says to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, that laqad khashitu ala nafsi, I fear over my life. I fear over my life. So upon this, Khadija radiallahu anha replied, كلا والله لا يخزيك الله أبدا. That there is no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to let any harm come to you. Why? Why can no harm come to you? Because of these qualities that you possess. إنك لتصل الرحم وتحمل الكل وتقسم المعدوم وتقري الضيف وتؤين على نوائب الحق. So Khadija radiallahu anha said this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And over here, fast forward a few years, we find Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is leaving. This person, when he sees that Abu Bakr is leaving, he says that you cannot leave your hometown. Why? Because you possess great qualities. And he mentions exactly the same words. Now, Khadija radiallahu anha and Ibn Nughunna had never met one another. Ibn Nughunna had never heard Khadija radiallahu anha say these words to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not that he had heard her say these words to the Prophet, and now he is saying the same words. This was because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu adopted the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to this extent that he had become a complete carbon copy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was another copy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is why Ibn al-Nughunna said the same thing which Khadija radiallahu anha said here. This is why some ulama mention that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if you want to know his rank and his status, then it's like a person who is standing in front of the mirror. So when you stand in front of the mirror, you can see exactly your reflection. So in the same way, it's as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was standing in front of the mirror, and in the mirror was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was a complete copy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was the effect of the Quran when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would recite, that the non-Muslim women and the non-Muslim children, they would come to listen to his recitation also. And the males, they had to try and take Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu out. So this person, he came and he told them that you cannot take him out from here. You need him. So they said, look, we have no problem with him. We know he's a great person. But he recites the Quran, and when he recites the Quran, we have this fear that our women and our children are going to accept Islam. So if he stops reciting the Quran, then we have no problem with him. So like this, there are many incidents not too recently, there was a conference in the Soviet Union, so in Russia. So at that time, leaders from different countries and different faiths were also invited. So the president from Egypt was invited also. So he took with him the famous Qari Abdul Basit. And the purpose of taking him was that the different faiths, when they will read from their divine books, then when it's time for someone to represent Islam, Qari Abdul Basit will recite some verses from the Quran. So Qari Abdul Basit himself, he narrates that when I was reciting the Quran, the non-Muslims that were sat there, I saw tears flowing from their eyes. And when they were asked that, do you understand what is being recited? Then they said, we have no idea what is being recited. We don't understand a single word of Arabic. But just the recitation had this great profound effect on them. Hazrat Shah Ataullah Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, one of our great pious predecessors, he also spent his entire life engaging in the khidmat and the service of the deen. In fact, he himself mentions that half of my life has been spent in traveling, and the other half of my life has been spent in the prison. Now, one is you and I, that we spend half of our life traveling, meaning that we go on holidays, we enjoy ourselves. Now, this traveling means that he would travel from one place to another in order to propagate the message of deen, to deliver talks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a very effective and a very beautiful voice also, that when he would recite the Quran, it would leave an effect and an impact on the people. And together with knowing how to recite the Quran in a very amazing manner, he could also deliver very inspiring talks. He had both of these qualities. And when would he start his talks? He would start his talks after the Isha Salah. So normally if there's a bayan after the Isha Salah, especially in summer, then for majority is bedtime. And it would be very difficult to stay awake. So first of all, he starts after Isha Salah. Number two, when he would start delivering his talk, for 45 minutes, he would recite Quran. This would be like the introduction, his khutbah, that he would recite Quran for 45 minutes. And when he would recite the Quran for these 45 minutes, the entire crowd, there would be pin drop silence. And every single person would feel this great effect in his recitation. Many non-Muslims during that time, they would travel from far just to listen to his recitation before his talks. And after this, he would then start his talk, and sometimes he would talk all the way till the time of the Hajjud. But thousands would attend. So he says that in Urdu he would say that Adi Zindagi Jail Me Guzri or Adi Zindagi Rail Me Guzri. So rail meaning the train. In other words, I've spent half my life troubling for deen and propagating the message of deen. And the other half of my life I've spent in prison. Why? Because when he would speak the haq and the truth, then the Indian government, they would imprison him. Because he would speak for Islam, he would speak in favor of Islam, and they would not like this, so they would imprison him. But as soon as he would come out of prison, then again, he would not lose hope that I've been imprisoned once already, I've been imprisoned twice already, so I need to stop now. No, he would continue speaking the truth. So on one occasion, he just came out of prison. He was just released from prison, and two, three people, they went to collect him from the prison. So when they went to collect him, they said to him that, look, in another area, in Sarhind, the area of Sarhind, there is this great trial where many, many people are leaving the fold of Islam. And it is our belief that only your talk will be able to bring this trial down. Otherwise, they are all going to leave Islam. So many have already left Islam. He said, I've just come out of prison and you are telling me to go there and deliver a talk. And we know what the government will think of this. So at least give me 2-3 days to rest. Thereafter we will go. He said, no, this is a great trial. So many people are leaving Islam. We need to go there. It's urgent. So he said, okay, whilst I was in prison, I received these messages that my father is extremely ill. So let me at least go and meet my father. Then we will go there. So one of them said that we give you permission to go and meet your father. But in those 10-15 minutes that we will delay, if even one person leaves Islam, then who is going to answer Allah on the day of Qiyamah? So he put his bag in the car and he said, let's go. And he goes there. According to the government, there was no permission to deliver the talk. But once he would sit on the seat and he would begin his talk, then nobody could stop him. And it was a gathering again of thousands of people. And one talk he delivered, and this one talk had such an effect that every person that was there that had left Islam, they once again accepted Islam. Just because of this one bayan and this one talk. This was Shah Ta'ullah Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, and the effect that he had. You know, on one occasion, before delivering his talk, he was told that the viceroy from the British rule, he has also come with his wife to listen to your talk today. The Shah Ta'ullah Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, before beginning his talk, he said that I am very happy that the viceroy of the British rule has also come with his wife to listen to my talk today. So I want him to listen very attentively to my talk. And let me say that if by the end of my talk, he and his wife have not embraced Islam, then my name is no longer Ata'ullah. In other words, this is the confidence he had in the effect of his talk, that if I deliver a talk and they listen attentively, they will definitely embrace Islam. So he said to his wife that just this one statement has had such an effect on me, that if we listen to his talk, we will definitely accept Islam. So let's stand up from here and leave. And they both stood up and left. So this was the effect of a person who wasn't even reciting Quran. Then imagine when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the glorious Quran, what effect this would have on the people during his time. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions that وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who commit kufr, they say لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, do not listen to this Quran. The likes of Abu Jahl, according to some commentators of the Quran, it refers to Abu Jahl here, that Abu Jahl, he would say that when إِذَا قَرَأَ مُحَمَّد صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, when Nabi صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ recites the Quran, then start screaming and start making noises. For two reasons. One is so that When the Prophet ﷺ is reciting, if you begin to make noises, then he may lose concentration and he may not be able to recite correctly. And the other reason is so that people cannot listen to what he is reciting. Why? Because they knew. فَعَلُوا ذَٰلِكَ لَمَّا أَعْجَزَهُمْ الْقُرْآنِ. When did they do this? They did this when they knew that the Quran has defeated us. Definitely, if people listen to the Quran, they are going to listen to this Quran, they are going to accept it. If we've tried saying that this Quran, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has made up this Quran, we've tried claiming that it's poetry, we've tried saying that he is a magician, we've tried saying that he is a fortune teller. But none of this is going to work. When they listen to the Quran, they are definitely going to know that this is the book of Allah. This is something completely different. So, what did they say? Abu Jahl said that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the Quran, then start screaming, start making noises. Don't listen. لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن. Do not listen to this Quran. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. And if it is still recited, then make a noise to disturb its recitation. Imam Mujahid rahmatullahi alayhi says that walghaw fihi, make a noise, means that start clapping when he recites the Quran, or start whistling when he recites the Quran. Imam Dahhak rahmatullahi alayhi says it means that start talking excessively. So start talking excessively, start clapping, start whistling, start screaming. These are all the different tafasir and commentaries of walghaw fihi, which means that basically try and disrupt the recitation of the glorious Quran when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting it, la'allakum taghlibun, so that you may be victorious. You may be victorious in putting an end to its recitation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, falanudhiqanna alladhina kafaru adhaban shadida. So especially because of such acts that are aimed at preventing others from Islam, we shall definitely let the kuffar taste a severe, meaning terrible, punishment. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And we shall certainly punish them for the worst of actions, the sins that they do. Allama Shabbir Rahman Uthmani rahmatullahi alayhi writes that what can be more worse than that person and his action, that he himself does not listen to the Qur'an and he doesn't even let others listen to the Qur'an. ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ النَّارِ. This fire of Jahannam shall be the punishment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's enemies. لَهُمْ فِيهَا دَارُ الْخُلْدِ. They shall have an eternal abode, everlasting place there as punishment. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. There is punishment for rejecting, denying our ayat. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, under the commentary of this ayah, he mentions that it's a sign of kufr to make noises with the intention of creating disturbance in the recitation of the Quran. So when anybody is reciting the Quran, if a person makes noises, if he talks or he makes any other noises with this intention, that I want to disturb the person who's reciting or I want to disturb those who are listening, then this is a sign of kufr. Thereafter he further says that to listen quietly, to remain completely silent and listen to the Quran when it is being recited, this is wajib. This is incumbent upon a person. And it's a sign of faith, it's a sign of a person's iman. This is why, whenever the glorious Quran is being recited, we should sit with utmost respect and we should listen to the Quran very attentively. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ. When the Quran is being recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Then listen to the Quran very attentively. وَأَنْسِتُوا. And remain silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may shower you with His mercy. So one way a person can gain the mercy of Allah ta'ala is that when the Quran is being recited, he listens to the recitation very attentively and he remains silent, even if he does not understand. So there's two groups of people. You have one group, those who understand the Quran. So when a person is reciting the Quran, those who understand the Quran, they should listen by pondering over the meaning of those verses. They should listen very attentively, and they should also ponder over the meaning that what is being recited. Even in salah, when the imam is reciting, those who understand, they should ponder over the meaning of what is being recited. And you have a second group that they don't understand the Quran. So even for them, despite not understanding, when the Quran is being recited, they should have this in their mind, that these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they should listen as attentively as possible. And it's possible that when they will listen very attentively, there will be certain places which they will be able to understand. There may be certain words. For example, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So, آمَنُوا إِيمَانُ, those who have إِيمَانُ, وَأَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, who do good deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. They are the people of Jannah. So it's a very easy verse to understand. So when a person comes across these verses, he will be able to understand what is being recited. So whether a person understands or he does not understand, this command is for both. Those who understand will ponder over the meaning. Those who don't understand, they still have to listen very attentively to the Quran when it is being recited. Sometimes when there is a program, then the program is initiated with the recitation of the Quran. So when the program is initiated with the recitation of the Quran, many people, they will not listen attentively to the recitation. Their mind will be somewhere else. They may have come with an objective of listening to a talk. So because the objective for them was that talk, they think that this recitation of the Quran, this is just a side issue. So after the recitation is finished, when the actual talk begins, that's when we'll listen attentively. So the Quran is being recited, and you will see people are walking around, somebody is doing something else, somebody is on his phone messaging somebody, they're waiting for the actual event. Whereas, when the Quran is being recited, the etiquette is that you listen very attentively and you are silent, because the words of Allah are being recited. So whenever the Quran is recited, we have to listen very attentively. And Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, one final point which he mentions in Ma'ariful Quran is that one thing which is very common is that we find in places like shops, restaurants, hotels, which are owned by Muslims, that they keep the recitation of the Quran relayed on a radio or a CD in whatever form it is. So the Quran is there being recited on the radio, or a CD is being played. The shopkeeper is doing his stuff, the customers are doing theirs. If it's a restaurant, people are eating, people are talking. Mufti Shafi'i Sahib says that this is against the etiquette of the Quran. You will find this is very common in Muslim shops. You walk into the shop and you can see that the Quran is being relayed via a CD or radio. But nobody will attentively listen to this recitation. So this is also against the etiquettes. If a person was barakah and blessings in his shop, then what should he do? Mufti Shafi'i Sahib further writes that what you should do is first, for a few minutes when you open your shop, put the recitation of the Quran on and listen to that recitation very attentively. At that time you shouldn't be engaged in anything else, no other activity. And once you start buying and selling, now turn off the Quran, switch off the Quran. So look, we have in our minds that it's something so good that I went to a restaurant today and I spent 2 hours there and in the background Quran was being recited. No, Quran shouldn't be recited. You are engaged in eating. You're not supposed to be eating and listening to Quran. So because we don't have the correct understanding of deen, we remain in this misconception that this is something good, whereas this is not something good. So when the Quran is being recited, you have to be engaged fully towards the recitation of the Quran. You shouldn't be doing anything else. And if you want to do something else, then that Quran should be turned off. You should not be listening to the Quran. And the same goes for in our times, where we have every program is now streamed or relayed, either by the receiver system or via the internet, whether it's eMasjid or Mixlr, whatever live stream it is. So what will happen to those who listen at home? This is why it's more beneficial that the male folk are in the masjid, because in the masjid you will sit with respect and your full attention will be towards the speaker, towards what is being delivered. At home, what happens, especially the women, they engage in something else. For example, they're cooking and they're also listening to the talk. They're doing something else and they're listening. And we have, subconsciously, we think to ourselves that we're doing something good. But again, this is against the etiquettes. When you listen, whether it's the Quran, whether it's any dini talk, whether it's a dars, whether it's a bayan, at that time, your full attention has to be towards it. So a person should sit down, face towards the qibla, and thereafter listen. Engaging in one activity and at the same time listening to a talk or listening to the Quran, this is against the etiquettes of this talk and etiquettes of the Quran. But this is something we should be kept in mind, that whenever the Quran is being recited or whenever a talk is being delivered, either we are completely away from it or our full attention is towards it. It shouldn't be 50-50 that we are doing something else also and we are listening also. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to understand this. May He instill within us the love for the Quran and love for the deen. And may He grant us the ability to bring into our lives all the adab and all the etiquettes which are required. Because it is through these adab and through these etiquettes that a person is able to beautify his religion and his deen. And the entire deen comes into a person's life. The Hakim al-Ummat Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention that if a person brings adab and etiquettes into his life, the adab and etiquettes which many people look down upon, they think to themselves, it's just an adab, it's just an etiquette, it's not something that you have to do. But if a person brings adab and etiquettes into his life, through adab and etiquettes, nawafil and optional acts will come into his life. And when nawafil and optional acts will come into his life, mustahabbat, the preferable acts will come into his life. When mustahabbat will come into his life, then the sunan will come into his life. When the sunnats will come into his life, then the wajib acts will come into his life. And when wajib acts come into his life, finally the fara'id and the compulsory acts will come into his life. So these adab which we look down upon, and we think it's only an adab, I don't even carry out fara'id, why should I do an adab? No, it's this adab, this is the foundation. This will lead you to farz. And we can flip this over also. That if a person begins to think that it's only adab, so let me leave it. And he starts leaving out adab and etiquettes. Then by leaving adab and etiquettes, nawafil will leave your life. Then mustahabbat will leave your life. Then sunan will leave your life. Then wajibat will leave your life. And finally the fara'id and compulsory acts will also leave your life. It's very important that we give importance to adab and etiquettes. Any adab that we have learned, if we have not learned adab, if we do not know about adab, then this is something that we should learn. That what are the adab and etiquettes for each action? For example, a person sits in a dini gathering, what are the adab and etiquettes of dini gatherings? When a person eats, what are the etiquettes of eating? When a person goes to the toilet to relieve himself, what are the adab and etiquettes of relieving oneself? So for everything, there are adab and etiquettes. Hakim ul-Ummat Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi has written a book by the name of Adabul Mu'ashara, the etiquettes of social life. So in the etiquettes of social life, he has mentioned the adab and etiquettes of every scenario that a human being will face in his life when he will meet with other people. And the gist of this is that if a person keeps the adab and etiquettes of social life in mind whenever he meets with somebody, he will never cause inconvenience to anybody. This is what adab is. That a person will never be able to cause inconvenience to somebody. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the understanding and instills within us the importance of this so that we may also learn adab and etiquettes and bring them into our lives. And through this, we can make our deen much more better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our dars today. May He grant us the ability to continue studying the glorious Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recite the Quran and also understand the Quran and also practice upon whatever we learn. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله